Expressions from St. Paul is listener supported. We ask that you pray on sowing a seed into this ministry and help us take the good news of the gospel all over the world. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages begin at 9, and at 10, our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. This past Sunday was Youth Day, and we brought in a powerhouse, and we had church. We welcome to our pulpit Reverend Jesse Shavers Jr., Associate Minister at the Shepherd of Life Missionary Baptist Church right here in Sacramento. And he titled his message, Bust a Move. And he teaches in this lesson how important it is that we roll with folks that are like-minded, people that are on the up and up, folks that will hold us accountable.
If you want to run with a pack, you need some people who got the same mindset that you have. You need to have some people that's in your corner that got the same goals that you have, and that you got to realize and say that it's time for us to bust a move. You need somebody that's going to be around in your life that's going to question why you sitting on something when you should be up doing something.
If you have your Bible, open it with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 3 down through 10. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Come on, I said, if you serve an excellent God, give God an excellent praise. Come on, you can do better than that if he's excellent. I said, you can do better than that if he's excellent. I wish I had a witness in the house that knew that God is excellent. Oh, I wish I had one more witness in the house that knew that God is excellent. I dare somebody just to shout, excellent.
Hallelujah, he's worthy to be praised. I said he's worthy to be praised. How many know that there's nobody like our God? I said, how many know that there's nobody like our God? There's nobody like the God that we serve. Hallelujah, he's an excellent God. And there's nobody like him. In obedience to God, who is the head of my life, to your pastor, Dr. Williams. Come on, let's celebrate your pastor. Hallelujah. I don't take it lightly, amen, that he's invited me back to share with you another year in a row. Amen. And I'm grateful and humble at the opportunity to all the other ministers on the staff. Amen. To this youth ministry on today. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, you can do better than that. Did they not bless us on today? Come on, you can celebrate your youth better than that. Did they not bless us on today? Come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truly they have blessed us. Hallelujah on today. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings from the Shepherd of Life Missionary Baptist Church, where the pastor is Reverend Jesse G. Shaver. Hallelujah. And Felicia Shaver is the First Lady. Hallelujah. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord. And not only do I represent my church when I go out, but as was stated, amen, thank you, Sister Love, for reading that biography. As it was stated, I am the young adult president of the California State Baptist Convention. And so I represent the convention everywhere I go. Amen. And I have home training. Amen. And so when there are other parent body officers in the building, amen, it's only right to recognize them as well. Amen. And so I give honor and recognition to the children's director, Sister Sonia Kennedy. Amen. It's good to see you. Amen. And then to the first, amen, lady president, women president, not of the women's auxiliary, but the first women's president of our youth convention. Amen. None other than Sister Kayla Riley Matthews. Come on, that's history. Come on, that's history. And truly, amen, we are going to share. Amen. I heard that pastor had said that he wanted me to sing a little. I don't normally sing before I preach a whole lot, so whenever he asks, you just do whatever Dr. Williams tells you to do. Amen, because when he asks you, he's not really asking you, he's just informing you. Amen. When he calls you, it's a courtesy call. Amen. To let you know exactly what you're going to be doing. It's all right to laugh. He told me to be myself and be how I am at home, so I'm going to be myself. Is that all right? Amen. But I got a little bit of help up there. Amen. C sharp, really quickly. We're just going to stay in the theme. How great is our God? Just a little worship song. I'm going to sing the beginning, sing a chorus, sing the drive, and we're going to be on out the way with that, all right? All right, come on, I got good little background here. Amen, look at the birthday girl, amen, she's still working. Amen, Brother Brandon, Brother Quentin, amen, Sister Sarah Lynn, and good God Almighty, it's James Mitchell. What's up, bro? I haven't seen you in a while. Amen. Y'all seen him up there acting like he was as young as the rest of them? Amen. He was trying. You're going to be hurting later, bro. Amen. But how great is our God? Amen. Give me a little bit of tempo. Give me a little bit of tempo. The splendor of a king, he is clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, that's it, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Can I say it again? The splendor of a king. He is clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great, how great.
Mighty are the works of your hand.
of your hands.
Mighty are the works of your hands.
He's mighty, 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 mighty.
Mighty, 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 mighty.
He's mighty, 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 mighty.
Mighty, 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 mighty.
Mighty are the works of your hands.
Mighty are the works of your hands.
Mighty are the works of your hands. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great is our God. God bless you.
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to say thank you. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your people that have assembled themselves here on this morning. God, I ask that you would remove all self out of the way. God, I ask that you would speak through me so that you may get all of the glory. Let something be said to help encourage and uplift your people this morning. God, for I am clay and you are my potter. Shape and mold me after thine own will. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth that your people might see all of thee and none of me. These blessings I ask in your son Jesus' name I pray. And let the people of God say amen. Amen. We're going to go to the word. Amen. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. I'm going to give you my little Sunday school lesson and I'll be out of your way. Second Kings, the 7th chapter. Beginning at the 3rd verse. Amen. When we all have it, everyone say amen. Amen. Second Kings, the 7th chapter and verse 3 reads, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Verse 4 says, and if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Verse 5 says, and they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Verse 6 says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Verse 7 says, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Verse 8 says, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. 9 says, then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Amen. If you didn't want to talk to him, you should have sat next to him. Amen. Look at your neighbor. I told you I'm going to be myself. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, it's time to Bust a move. You may be seated. You may be seated. Y'all look like I was getting ready to say something real deep to tell your neighbor. I'm so short I barely can see over this podium, and y'all thought I was gonna say something real deep. Amen. But no, just tell your neighbor it's time to bust a move. It's time to get out of here. It's time to go somewhere. I was fascinated when I began to read this text, and it caused me to look up Google. You know, Google has everything. And it caused me to look up Google, and I didn't say it was all truthful, but I said it has everything. And I looked up the word complaint. And when I looked up the definition of complaint, the definition that Google gave me, it says that it is a statement of unsatisfaction or a situation that's unacceptable. And so as I begin to really dwell upon what this definition of complaint was, I came to the conclusion that a complaint is not a statement that's supposed to be made to be a final point, but it's supposed to be the opening statement to finding an ending solution. All right, I'll say that again. A complaint is not made to be the final statement, but a complaint is supposed to be the opening statement to find an ending solution. And that would suggest to me that while that this is the ideal idea of a complaint, it is not the reality of a complaint. You see, what I've discovered in my little 29 years of existence is that there are four types of complainers. All right, the first complainer that you have is a messy complainer. They just simply complain just to be messy. Then you have your second complainer. They are the instigating complainers. They don't do anything but stir up what's already there. Then you have your third set of complainers, and these are the people, amen, who complain to cause division among people. Then the fourth one, I can handle those first three, but the fourth one really bothers me a whole lot. The fourth one, that those complainers are the people who complain just to be complaining. They have no real reason to complain. They have no real motive to complain. They wake up in the morning, they complain, and when they go to sleep, they complaining. They don't even know what it is that they're really complaining about, but they're complaining just to be complainer. If that's the neighbor that's sitting next to you, I don't want you to look at them, but is there anybody in here know some people who complain simply just to be complaining? And if that is something that bothers me, there is something that makes me real angry, and that's people who complain just to be complaining in the church. Hallelujah. They don't have no other reason to be complaining, just to be complaining. You know some of them. They're the ones who come and they complain about what the choir is singing, but they don't even sing in a key that is on the piano. You got some people that complain about the way that the drummer is drumming, but they don't even know how to play themselves. Got the nerve to be mad at the musician for how he playing, can't even find the C on the keyboard. They just complain just to be complaining. Then they come to church and they complain about the deacons, they complain about the trustees, they complain about the ushers, they complain about pastor's sermon, and they can't even tell you where his text came from. Just people that complain simply just to be complaining. You got people that show up on Sunday morning just to complain. They give their unpaid and unsolicited review of the church service, and then they go out of here and start mess in the parking lot. They just complaining just to be complaining. There's nothing more than people who irk me that complain just to be complaining without trying to find a solution to the problem. Y'all real quiet in here, so either you are sitting next to somebody or that person just might be you. Complaining just to be complaining. If you want something to change, you got to do something about your situation. They tell me that the word insanity is doing something over and over, expecting different results. Sometimes we come to church and we practice insanity and we don't even know it. There are so many people inside the church that should be getting a check, but they in denial.
because they really are insane. And that brings us to our text this morning, is that you got to get to a point in your life where you have to decide that it's time to bust a move. It's time to change. If you want something around you to change, you got to be the change that you want. Hallelujah. It's not just good just to be complaining, but you got to also be the change that you see. And it brings us to this third verse of the seventh chapter of the second book of Kings here, where it says, and there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. Now, what you have to understand is that there weren't only four leprous men there, but these four leprous men were called out in this particular text. You have to understand that leprosy was what a forbidden skin disease that did not allow those who had it to enter into the general population. And so what happened was is that they created an environment for all of them to go and be amongst themselves, because they were considered to be less than and less valued than everybody else that was there. And so when you do the background and you understand where this is coming from, you will see that there were hundreds of them in a colony. But it was four leprous men who decided that they were no longer comfortable with what was going on around them, and they decided that it was time to do something about it. See, you got to understand that even though you come amongst people who may be like you, people who may look like you, everybody does not have the same mindset that you have. And so when you understand what's going on here, is that you must first understand, because I know as young people, our primary thing is to have relationships. We're not old enough to understand what it is to be alone or what it feels like to have to be alone all the time. And so we hold a lot of importance to our relationships. And if you would just allow me to have a conversation with you this morning about that, I believe that what the word says, it will be able to help you. If you keep your Bible open and follow along with me, I don't preach nothing but the Bible. I don't have anything else but the word. So keep your word open and follow with me, all right? It says four leprous men. There was four men with a skin condition that decided that it was time for them to bust a move. They was looking at everybody else around them and said that they have become very comfortable in their dysfunctionality. And it's a very sad and dangerous thing that we get young people who are already comfortable being comfortable in dissatisfaction and dysfunction. We have to get to a point where we have to make up our minds that it is time to change what's going on around us. And so in this sense, if you want to keep points on what's going on today, the first point is that you would need some people in your life who are like-minded. Y'all got real quiet. I said, you need some people in your life who are like-minded. If you want to run with a pack, you need some people who got the same mindset that you have. You need to have some people that's in your corner that got the same goals that you have. There's a little group here. I seen you guys' t-shirts on Facebook before. It's called Squad Goals. I seen you. I know who you are. Amen. You got to make sure that you got people in your squad that got the same kind of goals that you have. And that you got to realize and say that it's time for us to bust a move. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit here until we die? You need somebody that's going to be around in your life that's going to question why you're sitting on something when you should be up doing something. You need some people in your life that's going to challenge you, and that's going to challenge you to make a change and to do better than what you're doing right now. If you got people in your life that they're comfortable letting you be in dysfunction, you need to do some evaluation and dismiss them out of your life. How many know that stagnant people will cause you to be stagnant in your life? Is there a witness in here that ever had some stagnant people in your life that when you turn around and you look at it, you say, these people didn't mean me no good. And if I had keep holding on to them, they was going to keep me where I was. I would never be where I am today if I held on to people that kept me where I was. So you got to make up a decision in your mind that even when you're in school or wherever else you go, that you got to surround yourself by people who are of the same mind that will challenge you to say, listen, there's something else that we should be doing. It's time for us to get up out of here. We got to bust a move. Verse 4 said, and they said, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we still sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. They said, if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Look at what the conversation is happening here. Basically, what they're saying is they're saying that we won't know what can happen on the other side unless we make up our minds to go and find out. How can you ever find out if something is better for you if you don't never try to go after and seek better? You gotta want to do better in order to receive better. Better is not just gonna fall in your lap. Opportunities don't always just fall in your lap. Sometimes if you want to achieve something, you gotta go out and attain it. You can't sitting there looking how you're looking and expect things around you to change. You need some people that's going to challenge you and say in your life, it is time for us to bust a move. It's time for us to make a change. Maybe it will be good. Maybe it won't. But it's better for me to go and try and fail than to not try at all and never know that I had the opportunity to succeed. When I was thinking about this text and it comes to this second point, you need people in your life that's going to help motivate you. They need to be like-minded, and then you need people in your life that's going to help motivate you. It reminded me of this movie. Y'all know this movie called Friday? Not the second or third one. I'm talking about the first one. What was the character's name? His name was what? Craig. And Craig, what, had a friend named who? Named Smokey. Huh? What they did when they got up in the morning was they got dressed up. You see them ironing their clothes and crisping it and putting the crease down in the middle of their T-shirt. And what did they do after they got dressed? They didn't go anywhere but to go sit on the porch. They sat on the porch and watched everybody else go by and watched what everything else was doing. And if you remember, Craig got fired on his day off. Y'all remember that? And the problem with the situation was, yeah, it's funny, it's real funny. But the problem with the situation was is that Smokey was not the friend that Craig needed. See, because if Smokey was a real friend of Craig's, when he found out that Craig got fired on his day off, he would have motivated and he would have challenged Craig to go out and get another job. Our problem in our lives is we got people that don't motivate us to do anything better. We got people in our lives that enable us to stay right where we are. And the problem with this situation is as long as we're staying right where we are, we will never be able to achieve the things that God wants us to achieve. We will never be able to obtain the blessings that God wants us to have. We will never become the person that God wants us to be as long as we are sitting on the porch next to our Smokey. I come to let you know, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do, but if you got some people in your life and some relationships, I think you need to start evaluating so you can prepare your benediction. Because you say that as long as I stay in a relationship with you, I'm not going to go anywhere. Because I've made up my mind that as of today, I am going to go after what is better. And if you don't want to see me do better, it's time for you to get out of my life. Because I told you there was a colony of hundreds of people that had leprosy, but it was only four men that decided that we will no longer be who society says that we are. We will no longer live up to the labels that society has placed on us. Hallelujah. All of us in here can be a witness that these men had leprosy, and so that means that they had a skin disease, which means that the king and the government had a problem with the way that their skin looked. Oh, y'all still sitting there, y'all didn't catch me. Let me go ahead and say this again. It says that they had a skin disease, and so basically the king and the government did not like the way that their skin looked. Y'all still sitting there looking at me the way you're looking. Y'all don't catch it yet. I said the king and the government had a problem with the way that their skin looked. And so what they did was they placed him outside of the gate amongst other people who were like them, because they didn't want to be bothered with them because they thought that they were less than everybody else. Y'all still don't understand what I'm saying. Let me say it one more time where you can reach it. These men had the same skin problem. They all was the same. They all had the same type of skin. And so what the government said was based on their skin, they did not have the same value as everybody else had. Come in just a little bit closer. Is there anybody in here that ever didn't get a job because somebody didn't like your skin? Is there anybody in here that did not get the promotion that you wanted because they didn't like your skin? Is there anybody in here that the teacher did not call on and they gave you a B minus because they didn't like your skin to give you an A? I wish I had somebody else in here that would be a witness that said that I've been a victim of people not liking the way that I look. Oh, y'all still sitting there looking at me funny, but that's all right. I don't know about you, but I've been in some situations in my life where people have attacked me because they don't like the way that I look. But I come to let you know today that if you make up your mind that you're not going to live up to what people say, that if you make up your mind and say that I'm going to change what's going on around me, that on the other side, God got a blessing. All you got to do is activate your faith and God will bless you. Hallelujah. Has anybody here ever stepped out on faith and you realize that if you had never taken that step, you wouldn't be where you are today? But I thank God, hey, that I am where I am today, all because I took the step. Listen, I'm going to be out your way real soon. Number one, you need people in your life that are like-minded, because like-minded people will help motivate you to where you need to go. Then number two, you need people who is going to motivate you to put your talking into walking. Then number three, the reason why it's important for you to bust a move and make sure you have the right people around you is because God wants to set you up for a blessing that somebody else told you that you would never receive. Oh, I come to speak that over the house tonight. The young people need to know that there's blessings out there that God wants you to receive that other folks said that you would never have. But I guarantee you today that if you just exercise your faith and you bust a move, you will see God begin to work. Look over here in the fifth verse, and it says, "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there." Let me say it over here. Let me say it real quick. They had a conversation that they said, "We tired of sitting here doing what we doing. It's time for us to make a change so we can do something else." Then one of them in the group said, listen. "There's nothing wrong with us going and trying." He said, "Look, hey, we could die or we could live. We don't know what's going to happen, but we need to make a decision that we're going to do something anyway. No matter what the outcome is, we're going to make a decision that we're going to change what's going on around us." And so they pumped themselves up and they had this conversation and they had a pep talk that said, "Hey, we're going to go and we're going to see what's there. Maybe they'll kill us. Maybe they won't." And they got up at twilight and they went to the Syrian army camp, and all that they prepared for, there was nothing there that they had to face. I'm trying to see this. They gave themselves a pep talk. They said, "We could die." They said, "We got the possibility to live. We're hungry. We're famine. And you know how us get when we get hangry, we'll do anything." And so they said, "We're going to go and find out what's over there to see what we can get. And we know that we're going to encounter them, but if we encounter them, we have the possibility to live or we have the possibility to die." And then the Bible says that when they stepped out on faith and they went over there to the Syrians' army, all that they prepared for, they was met with nothing.
Have you ever gotten into a situation where you had to talk yourself into doing something? And you said, you know what, I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't know if I'm able. I don't know if they're going to like me. I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen. But I'm going to do it anyway. And you went and you did it and you find out all that you was worried about was for nothing. You found out all that you was worried about was all for nothing. These men have made up in their minds that we're going to change our situation from what's going on because we no longer want to be here, and we're going to get up with the possibility that we're going to fail or that we're going to succeed. But either way it goes, we're going to get up and we're going to go, and we're going to encounter these people. And when they got there, when they rose up at twilight and they got there, they found out that there was nobody there. Come in a little bit closer. See, what happens is that when you stretch your faith, when you exercise your faith and you make up in your mind that I don't care what people got to say about me, I don't care how bad people have talked about me, I don't care how bad people have labeled me, I don't care how bad people have categorized me, I'm going to step out on faith anyway, and I'm just going to see what God can do. And I want to let y'all know something in case you didn't know. It's very dangerous when you want to exercise your faith to see what God will do. And I provoke anybody, because every time you exercise your faith to see what God's going to do, he'll blow your mind every single time. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen God do something before? Anybody ever seen God make a way out of nowhere before? Listen. This is when it got real good. This is when it got real good. They got up at twilight. They went over there. They found that nobody was there. And verse 6, listen to this. Look what the Lord will do to the enemies. He said, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. Look what God will do. Look at what God will do when you exercise your faith. The people that used to say you were crazy, God will turn them around and make them crazy. The people that said you were no good, they'll turn around and you'll find out that they no good. The people that said that you wouldn't be nobody, you'll find out that they nobody. See, God had stirred up some noise that they couldn't even see. And it made them run from all of their possessions. Look what happened in the text. See, the other ones, they said, we're going to run too. But look at what God did. He made the enemy run from. Look at what happens here. He says, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. They got so crazy that they thought that God had arranged an ambush to happen to them. But they didn't realize that all they was doing was really hearing things. They wasn't really didn't see what they thought that they was hearing. Nothing was really happening. But that's what happens when God is working on your behalf. He'll begin to stir things up that's going on around you. He'll begin to stir situations up to cause you to have favor. And he will cause confusion on the enemy to make them think that something has happened to them that's not even happening to them. But on the flip side, something that's happening to you is really happening to you. Look at what he says. He says, wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight. Listen. The enemy rose and fled in the twilight. You missed it there. The enemy fled and rose in the twilight. When did the four leprous men get up? Y'all didn't say that good enough. I said, when did the four leprous men get up? At the twilight. When did the Syrian army leave? Let me say that again. When did the four leprous men get up? When did the Syrian army leave? Y'all still sitting there missing it. Let me say it one more time. When did the leprous men get up? When did the Syrian army leave? Basically, what God is saying is that I'm waiting for you to take the step so I can go ahead and make your blessing available. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here tonight that's willing, or this morning that's willing, to make the necessary steps to go ahead and get your blessing. I dare you to begin to activate your face all in this place this morning and say that I will no longer allow the enemy to keep me from my blessings. But yet and still, I'm going to get up anyway and obtain what it is that God has for me. Because I came to let somebody know that what God has for you it is for you. And God is just waiting for you to make the necessary step to say that I'm no longer staying in this situation. I'm no longer comfortable where I am. I know that there is better for me out there. And I come to let some young person know in here today, you don't have to stay exactly where you are because God has better for you. Go ahead and apply to that school because God has it waiting on you. Go ahead and apply for that scholarship because God is waiting to give you a full ride. I wish I had somebody in here that can understand this morning. That say, I will no longer be holding back. I will not allow the enemy to keep me from my blessings. I'm taking the necessary steps this morning. And I'm stepping out on faith this morning. And I'm going to thank God for my blessings. I'm going to get everything that God has for me. Because truly what it is for me, it is for me. I come to let somebody know in this place that you don't have to be afraid of your blessing. You don't have to be afraid to step out on faith because God will work things out for you. Because God will turn your situation around. God will open up doors in your face. God will make a way out of no way. I wish I had somebody in here that can say, I seen God do it. I seen him work it out. I seen him open doors. When I didn't have no money, I stepped out on faith and God paid my bills. I wish I had another witness in the house today that said no weapon that's formed against me shall ever prosper. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves me. And I want to let somebody else know that it is no secret what God can do, what is done for others. He'll do the same thing for you. I heard a writer say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. If you stay faithful to the Lord, he'll work every situation out. And do you want to know the kicker? If you keep on reading in the text, they didn't go and thank the people at the colony for all that they had. They didn't go and tell them all that they had gotten, but instead they showed some maturity. See, you got to grow up and show some maturity in this life. They went back to the king that kicked them out of the city, and they went and told the king immediately what they had discovered. Now, somebody may say, what's the significance of that? I come to let somebody know that it's real easy to thank people that do good for you. It's real good to thank people that open doors for you. It's real good to thank people that provide for you. Oh, but it's another thing when you thank people that are the reason why you are where you are. You see, the people of the four lepers, men, they went to the Syrian king, and they said, King, this is what we found in the tents. In other words, what they were saying to the king, they said, King, thank you for having a problem with my skin. Thank you for thinking that I was nobody. Thank you for thinking that I had no value. Thank you for telling me that I would never be nobody. Thank you for telling me I would never achieve anything. Because if it wasn't for you telling me what I wouldn't be, I would never know what I am right now. Is there anybody can say, thank that bad boyfriend, thank that bad girlfriend, thank that bad coworker, thank that bad spouse, thank my bad environment, because it all made me who I am today. I wish I had somebody in the house this morning that would shout, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. Thank you, Jesus, for opening doors. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wish I had somebody that would step out in the aisles right now and say, I'm getting ready to take my step of faith. I'm getting ready to bust a move. I'm coming out of this situation. I'm coming out of this problem. I'm coming out of my hurt. I'm coming out of my pain. I'm coming out of my unforgiveness. Because God has greater for you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Somebody shout, yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
your spirit is moving. We give you an opportunity, if you're here, to come to Christ. Ushers, will you please check the door while we are giving an opportunity for people to come to Christ. Please don't let anybody walk unless you're walking to accept Christ. There will be a disturbance to those who are trying. Will you just say, wherever you are, I want to receive Christ for myself. Then you'll understand more and more about the message today. Will you come today? Will you come? Will you come?
To you.
Will you come? While he speaks to you, will you come? He's speaking.
To you.
He is speaking.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding
nothing.
Where you come?